Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Jesus gave us an example of humility. He humbled himself, being willing to do the least of the least of the things. Willingly, with great joy, he served them. That's a wonderful truth. Now, I put one little snippet that to me just shows tremendous humility, you know, to me, that the Lord would do that for us. We could go on and on and on as far as what Jesus did. Jesus was the epitome of humility, absolutely. Let's take a look at something that we would see in Acts that might also portray this type of example. At Acts 14, how convenient, it's 14:14. And let's just look at this just for a second. I actually like this particular scripture really well also. Now, all the people in Lystra kind of thought that Paul and Barnabas were these super special guys. Now they thought, oh my, these are gods that have come down to visit us. You know, they got real excited. The people got thrilled and they thought, well, you know, so they want to go and offer sacrifice to him. And so Paul and Barnabas get freaked. You know, whoa, what's going on here, man? You've misunderstood something we're talking about. What I like about this is they didn't take it into themselves. They didn't take it into themselves. God was doing something using them. Because it is exciting, isn't it, to be used by God? We all know. I mean, when somehow God's moving through something and just using you, whatever way that might be, whatever it might be, and it's exciting. It's just wonderful to be used by God. You know, that's just to think that God not only lives in you, but he's flowing through you to accomplish a purpose is exciting. I love that about our fellowship, our church. God has given us a lot to do, and I'm just excited to be a part of all of it because it's just wonderful, it's fun, it's exciting, it's stimulating. I watch God moving, and it's just energizing because it's the Lord at work, and he's just allowing us, the likes of us, to be a part of what he's doing, and we have to walk together with him in humility, but we dare not take that unto ourselves, you see, because it's a work of God. But this is where the danger falls in, and you can get all Saul-like and weird out, is when you start taking it into yourself and start receiving any of the glory to yourself. But I love what these guys did. In verse 14, it says, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made all heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are in them. He, like us, these guys, like we should, spun it all around and said, whoa, wait a minute. This is not about us. This is about Jesus. This is about God. They humbled themselves. They didn't receive that into themselves, but they humbled themselves and they pointed to the Lord. I love that about even the true work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't here to glorify himself. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. You get around certain people and they're just, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's great. I love the Holy Spirit too. But the thing is the Holy Spirit's not trying to draw attention to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, scripturally, is there to point to the person of Jesus Christ. So it's not all about the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working through us to point to, and the Holy Spirit himself wanting to point to the person of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That's a powerful concept to grasp. That's the role. That's what the person of the Spirit does. And so in humility, we see it even happening amongst the Godhead as there's interaction. The humility that's displayed in the characteristic of the Godhead itself. So we're made in the similitude and the likeness of God. And as we've been born again, now we've got, God's given us his, some of his DNA, you know, as it were, spiritually speaking. And these are characteristics that we want to display. Why? Because we certainly see it, Jesus teaching it and living that out, right? That's, he's the one that's living in you now. So when it's all about you, it's probably not about Jesus, so it's probably not too good. That's, it's simply stated. And it can slip into that so easy, can't it? It's just a moment by moment thing to refocus. And even what I find interesting is even some of the awesome, really cool things that you can do, you can be doing them because they make you feel good about you, but they don't have nothing to do with God. I say abort the mission and move on to something that has all to do with God. Because just because it makes you feel good about you doesn't mean anything that has anything to do with God. Now, that doesn't mean that the things that we do for God don't also bless us as we learn how happy is or how blessed is the person who does these things. So it comes with great joy. It comes with fulfillment. It comes with the pleasure of, but we find our pleasure is maybe more in the humility side than the other side. We find as we get a few more miles on us, oh man, you know, that's great. You know, that's good. I'm glad to see that going well. That's exciting. And just let God be God. Oh, what a blessing. So we certainly see humility playing out. And again, we could have found a bunch more in Acts, okay? This is just one that stands out for me. I like that story real well. So you're subject to listening to it again, and it fits. Also then, we'll pick up a couple things in 1 Peter 5. I want to spend a minute on this because one of the things that we find is this really is a struggle for all humanity. And you know, so for Christian and non-believer alike, this is a struggle. This is where we really live. And it's so important, isn't it, to keep and maintain that kind of a balance in our hearts and our minds. Because I want to, you wouldn't be here this evening if you didn't want to please God. And these are the things that please the Lord. Being clothed in humility pleases the Lord. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. I really like that one as time goes by. That first portion there, really, I feel a lot better about it as time goes by. Yes, all of you, be submissive one to another. And notice what he says, and be clothed with humility. So we could look no further. We will expand on this a little bit more, but we could look no further, couldn't we? And we could say, well, simply we have enough here that evidences this should be something that should be doctrine. This is something that humility should be something that we want to practice. This is something that we want to have application in our personal life. This is something that we want to ask the Lord, Lord, help us to understand humility in our daily life, in our circumstances. Do you realize you can be a tremendously useful leader, both inside and outside the body of Christ? You can't separate your Christianity. Can't compartmentalize that way, okay? Can't do it. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. I don't care what job you have. I don't care what career you have. And it goes all the way up to ever, whatever you could ever climb up to, including whatever governmental ruler you could ever be, or king or anything else. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. You just happen to be a king, or you happen to be a servant, or you happen to be the guy that cleans the pool, or you happen to be the one who mows the yard, or you happen to be the one that ships this to that place or goes and gets that and buys that for them or helps everybody else when they're sick and down and out or whatever it might be, okay? You might be the person that just is happy and you do the best you can to just take care of your kids, male or female, okay? Whatever that is, it really, you can't separate your Christianity from that. You are a Christian in all those roles. You're a Christian. But for me, the thought is, God, help me to walk in humility then in whatever my role is in a situation. And the thing that's crazy about this is if we read on with this just a little bit further, it says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is an interesting verse in 6 that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he would exalt us. In other words, what's odd about the Bible and about being a believer, is that the way up is down. You know, it's not about scrapping and fighting and trying to get to the top of the heap and do it all your way and all that. It's just not, it's inverted. And I find it very challenging. I'm just going to tell you that. I find that very challenging. I'm just on the human side of it, that this awareness needs to be within us from the Spirit, that, Lord, show me in this way, how would I walk in humility? You see, because a lot of times I know in the workplace, the more aggressive, the more domineering, the more type A, you know, sometimes the better it may go for you in certain work environments. I understand that. But that's certainly not all of us, is it? And on top of that, is that really godly? So I'm not saying type A isn't godly. I understand. But what I am saying is, and type A, whatever. I'm using things that I think we're all somewhat familiar with, you know, a very aggressive personality or very domineering personality, that's what I'm referring to. That's just my thought process on it. But the idea is that I find it challenging in ministry, is what I'm saying, is that how do you lead when it's not by remuneration? It's an interesting concept. It has to be a Holy Spirit motivated thing. It has to be a God thing. This is why we spend time just going through the Word, wanting to know God, because the more we know God and we know His grace and His mercy toward each one of us, the more motivated we are to serve together in the kingdom, to build up His kingdom. When we see it that way, man, there's no stopping. It doesn't matter whether it's 200 or 2,000, we'll take the city for Jesus Christ. I believe that. I really believe that. And so to me, these times are very worthwhile investments in the kingdom, because these are truths that if we start really applying them, because the way up is down. Just serving and being able to work with one another in things of the kingdom are what it's all about. You know, it's powerful. But our remuneration isn't amongst ourselves in that sense. You see, ours is when we get to the other side. It's deferred, you know. We've got a wonderful investment plan, God does, you know, doesn't He? Isn't it great that we can send it on ahead, as it were, and invest in Him and what He's wanting to do in and through all of us together? That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Well, I really believe that happens through humility. Let's take a look quickly at Philippians 2:5. You remember, this is where Paul expounds on this concept that Jesus made Himself of no reputation, but taking the form of a bond servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Verse 5, chapter 2, Philippians. Now we're in verse 7. But made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You know, it's funny, isn't it? We see Jesus being willing to death on the cross, but sometimes it's so difficult for us to even die to ourselves in a situation and show humility. It's radical. I look at that and I just think, wow, God's really not asking me to do anything other than just die to myself in a situation sometimes, just show some humility. And you know, I've found over and over again, that's what God wants us to do regularly in circumstances. Just be Christ-like. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him, verse 9, and given Him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and those on earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, this idea in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And that is the mind and the mindset of humility. So let's think through that just for a second as we close out tonight. Let's just think through this. So Humility then, though some may have a more natural propensity and capacity for that, and we will all salute them. That's awesome. But that's not everybody, is that? That's really not all of our, just our nature, you know? That's just not always the way we all are. We'd like to be. I mean, we'd like to be perceived that way at least, you know, whether we really are or not, right? That leads into false humility. That's a whole other topic tonight that we're not going to do tonight. But this idea of let this mind be in you, you will find that when you study through Philippians, it's all about the mind and how you and I perceive things and how we interact and how we really see God doing something. Because this is the interesting thing about this, is that my heart, God is able to do something with that. God can do something in my heart. Now, I'm not always able to change my heart. You know, God's more apt to be able to do that than I am. I'm just not apt to be able to do that myself, just change my heart in a matter. Because you know what I mean? The heartfelt of a circumstance or a situation, that's something you really can't muster up and change your own heart on things. Interesting that he uses the term, let this mind be in you, because part of it is the key, because we're built this way. God's designed us this way, that if my mind, so with my mind, I have to make a conscious choice about certain things. Confession is really agreeing with God, with my mind saying, I agree, God, I am not acting in humility in this matter, let's say. I've got to agree with God. God, I need you. I'm changing my mind. See, because if God came in, he could change your mind in my mind, but he won't, because that's a violation of free will. Now you become robotic, and God doesn't. That God's not going to force himself on you and me to change our minds. He can bring a lot of circumstances in our lives, can he, that can help us change our minds, because he's our, you know, dad can has a way about doing that sometimes, you know, to get to persuade us certain ways, you know. But I can change my mind. I'm able to do that. And if I change my mind in a matter, God will change my heart. It may take some time, but if I'm obedient, this is why there's a discipline, being a disciple, one who is a learner, a disciple, a discipline. Anybody who's watching any martial arts things or anything like that, or any kind of a training, rigorous training thing, there's a discipline involved in that. And it is sometimes I've got to, you know, force myself to keep doing this repetitively. Oh my gosh, I have swam more laps, you guys, than I ever care to remember or think about. I mean, it was just throwing one arm in front of the other and just, you know, flutter kick, you know. I mean, hours every day in the pool, lap after lap. It's monotonous. You know, I love the water. I like the, you know, but it was just, oh, hours, you know. But in order to do well, I had to get over that in my mind and just accept that this is what I need to do. God, in the spiritual sense, if I commit and I say, God, you know what? I want to change my thinking on this, and I want to think like you. If I change my mind, God will change my heart. But if I don't, then God won't. Because he's not going to force himself into our lives, in these areas of our lives. This is why he said, if you're tracking with me on this, this is why he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Have that kind of mindset, purpose it then, because a lot of times we look for these things, don't we? We're like, I need to know God. Well, how do I do this? How do I actually formulate or develop? Because it's just not natural for a person to always be in a humble state of mind or a state of being that way, right? Now, what I've found is wonderful is you can be humble and still be very competitive. Do you realize that? You can be very competitive. You know what? I have a lot of drive, and I can still function in humility in Christ. In Jesus, I can do that. In and of the natural, maybe we can't, but in Christ. So it's a matter of mind, me giving myself, us giving ourselves over to the Lord, agreeing with God, saying, I want
to change my mind. I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it your way, God. I'm going to agree with God then. So there's a purpose of intent, and God will get in there and give us then even a heart for it as time goes by. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth to know. For me, when I finally grabbed a hold of this, it was life-changing for me. It was that powerful, this type of concept. And it wasn't just regarding humility. This is many and any areas of our lives, you guys. That truth applies in many areas of our lives as believers, because God won't force himself on you. So if you're magically thinking, well, I've prayed and I've wanted and I've tried to be, you know what? Get your mindset right on it. Give it to God. God will change your heart, and then God will work that out in and through your life. And then all of a sudden you realize it almost became axiomatic, because now it's a work of God's Spirit in you and I as believers, and there's really not a ton of effort on our part. All we did was agree with God. Yeah, I don't do well at that, God. I agree with you, and I want to do it your way, you know? And then God said, oh, cool, great. I can help you with that. I can help you with that. God honors those decisions that you and I make like this, because, see, aren't those kind of what repentance is? Isn't that similar? You know, in my mind, I've chosen. Now, I couldn't live out all of the last 25, 26 years of following the Lord. I couldn't live that all out in the one moment when I gave my life to the Lord. Not to the Lord I did, but in this life and space and time in which we live, I couldn't do that. It was one day, one step, every day, deciding, you know what, Lord? I want you to be on the throne today. You ever thought about that? You know, we often say, well, gosh, Lord, I wonder what you're going to do today. Has God ever talked to you about that? Because oftentimes he may just say, well, that largely depends on what you do today. What are you going to let me do? What are you going to let God do today, tomorrow? You see, because God's not going to violate you and me. We're sometimes seeing him in this light that he doesn't function in, you know? He just doesn't force himself on you and me. And so sometimes we're waiting for the magical fairy dust to fly on us, and then, we're all better now. You know, this is just great. And, you know, now we're going to be really nice people and cool people. And, you know, by nature we're not, but now we are. And this is, well, you know, we got to realize, man, I'm not that way. And I need to think right about this. I need to agree with God that God would want me to be. I want to have your mind, Lord. I want to be like you. And I want to see it your way. So there's the purpose in our minds, which then ultimately God can change our hearts. Because I can't change that. We can't change that. God can. But God won't unless we will. Will being the key word. What do you will? What will you let him do?
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks again for listening to the Bible study today, and I trust that God is speaking to your heart. Oftentimes when we hear God's word, it kind of pricks our hearts, and there's a desire to respond, and I want to give you that opportunity to respond to God today by giving your life to Jesus if you've never given your life to Jesus. And if you want that free gift of salvation, everlasting life, it's yours. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you've walked with God at some point in your life, but you're just not walking with him today and want to get right with him. This is an opportunity for you. You know, many make fun of Jesus' second coming, that they're wondering, hey, is Jesus ever going to come back? And they make fun of it, kind of asking, where's the promise of his coming? You know, trying to act like God's forgotten about us. Well, God's not forgotten about you, me, or this world. But the real reality is the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's God's heart, is that we would get to that place of repentance. That means to turn away from something and to begin to follow something else, turning away from our sin and our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions in our lives that are so destructive, and then willingly follow him. That's his desire, that we wouldn't perish, but that we'd have everlasting life. If you'd pray a simple prayer of faith with me right now, right where you are, right whatever's going on in your life, if you just take this brief moment from your heart to pray this prayer and just ask Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin.
I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I want to ask that you would be my personal Lord and Savior, that you'd come into my heart, make my heart your home, and that I would begin this new life, this new journey with you, Jesus. I thank you so much for loving me, and I thank you for forgiving me. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.